Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Jammu and Kashmir Bank Q4 FY24 results conference call hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Chintan Shah from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah. Thank you, Sagar. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Q4 FY24 results conference call for Jammu and Kashmir Bank. We have with us from the management, Mr. Baldev Prakash, Managing Director and CEO, along with the management team. Yeah, before starting, I would like to congratulate the management for an excellent set of numbers and a healthy Q4. So yeah, now without further delay, I would now like to hand over the floor to the management. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Chintan. A very good afternoon and warm welcome to all the participants in the J&K Bank March 2024 earnings call. First, let me introduce my management team who are accompanying me on this call. Our Executive Director, Mr. Sudhir Gupta.
Good afternoon.
Our Corporate Credit Head, Mr. Ashutosh Sareen. Liability and Commercial and Consumer Credit Head, Mr. Narjay Gupta. Impaired Assets Portfolio Head, Mr. Shuja Andrabi. Our Treasury Head, Mr. Rakesh Kaul, joining in from Mumbai. CRO, Mr. Altaf Kira, and our new CFO, Mr. Faiz Ganai. During FY 2024, India's economy is estimated to have grown 7.6%, and the growth expectations for FY 2025, as per IMF estimates, is 6.8%, retaining its status as the world's fastest-growing major economy. GST collection of over rupees 2 lakh crore during April 2024, against the monthly average of 1.68 lakh crore for FY 2024, underlines the robust economy and kicking off the new fiscal on a fairly strong note. Buoyant domestic demand has ensured a strong start to the fiscal and manufacturing PMI improving, resulting in expansion of output in April 2024, albeit with slight moderation over March. On the policy front, RBI kept the policy rates unchanged on concerns of volatility in food inflation. The regulator feels that the full transmission of 2.5% hike in the benchmark repo rate since May 2022 has not happened except in case of fresh term deposits, thus inferring that there may be some more increase in the weighted average term deposit rates, resulting in further pressures on margins. Despite the pressures on liability front, banks have been posting decent numbers owing to the improved asset quality and provision write-backs. Over the last two, three years, J&K has also been witnessing growth and prosperity resurgence with significantly improved law and order situation. Thrust on infrastructure building is helping the core sectors of J&K economy, like agriculture, tourism, arts, and crafts, grow in an unprecedented manner. Transformation and modernization of the horticulture sector through the Holistic Agriculture Development Program, adopting the high-density plantations, mechanizations, strengthening the agri ecosystem by establishing the CA store network, and better logistics is opening new vistas of development. As per estimates, the sector offers lending opportunities of over rupees 50,000 crore over the next 5 years. Similarly, after the record-breaking tourist inflow in excess of 2 crore visitors last year, the numbers recorded during the first 3 months of this calendar year are well over 50 lakh, and the trend suggests that the traction continues. A lot of demand is emerging in the home stays in addition to the traditional tourism-related facilities like hotels, guest houses, restaurants, adventure tourism, tourist taxis, etc. One encouraging trend is the increase in foreign tourist arrivals, which had been negligible over a prolonged period. Coming to the financial numbers posted by the bank for financial year 24, we feel reasonably satisfied that we have been able to deliver what we had guided on most of the business and financial parameters. A double-digit deposit growth and 14% loan growth are in line with the market guidance with a strong Q4 performance. Growth contribution has been higher in housing, that is at 20% YOY, personal finance 15% YOY, and credit card 23% YOY. The retail to corporate composition of the loan portfolio is 2:1, while the regional contribution is J&K 66%, Ladakh 2%, and rest of India 32%. Personal finance constitutes 36% of the retail loan book. Interventions through ambitious deployment of POS, QR codes, extensive new customer onboarding has started yielding dividends by improving the float balances in the CASA segment, resulting in the bank being able to sustain CASA at 50.51% despite industry-wide pressures on liability side. Retail deposits constitutes 88% of the total deposits of the bank. Our cost of deposits for Q4 has panned as we had guided during Q3 calls, moderation with tapering bias. Focus of improving assets quality continues and the result is fairly reflected in the numbers. Gross NPA of 4.08%, net NPA of 0.79%, with PCR of 91.58%, all converging towards industry best. Excluding the technical write-off of ₹506 crores, the gross NPA would be 4.58%, broadly in line with our guidance for the year. It could have been better, but for the uncertainties of timing of some major recoveries, which sometimes get delayed, bank had also implemented a robust early warning signal system to manage the SMEs and control the slippages. The average monthly slippages during FY24 have been controlled at below rupees 100 crores, that is the slippage ratio of below 1.4%. Significant downsizing of 27% has been achieved in restructured loan book during FY24. While the two accounts of Adani Power, Maharashtra and Mundra, which had been subjected to flexible restructuring and had outstanding balance of about rupees 188 crores at the end of the last fiscal, also got adjusted during the year. The remainder of restructured loan book is performing satisfactorily with collection efficiencies of well above 90%, and we envisage further downsizing upgrade of same during current financial year. Aging provision requirement for NPAs during FY25 is estimated at about rupees 200 crores. But with the pipeline of NPAs recoveries and expected provision write-back therefrom, our credit cost shall be benign for the current financial year as well. Pertinent to mention that there has been no adverse impact on our investment portfolio and valuations subsequent to the revised RBI guidelines. We are maintaining over 95% of provisions for our NPIs. We also are maintaining investment fluctuation reserve of rupees 200 crores against requirement of rupees 118 crores as on March 2024. With improving internal accruals supplemented by fresh equity raised via QIP during the year, our capital adequacy is 15.33% with a significantly improved CET1 of 12.02%. Though J&K UT government has made a provision of rupees 500 crores in budget 24-25, for capitalization of J&K Bank, RRBs and cooperative banks, yet we are confident that banks shall be able to generate adequate growth and risk capital internally and not require recourse to the government infusion. The income statement is reflective of good growth in interest income at 20% YOY for the financial year. However, due to higher rise in interest expended at 30% YOY, net interest income has increased by 10% YOY for the year. The surge in interest expended is the outcome of industry-wide phenomena of repricing of term deposits and mobilization of fresh term deposits at higher rates, resulting in increased WAD PDR. Our endeavor to improve the liability franchise with an optimal mix of CASA and retail has started bearing fruit, and the efforts are continuing with ambitious digitally aided campaigns of new customer onboarding and deployment of POS and QR codes. Despite the pricing pressures on liability side, bank delivered a NIM of 3.92%, which are fully aligned with the guidance given by the management at the beginning of the year. Owing to recoveries in technical write-off loans getting delayed, other income of the current year increased by only 10% YOY. Some impact of the lower technical write-off recoveries was offset by increased income from insurance distribution business resulting from the new IRDAI guidelines. While good growth on comparative basis was achieved on core non-interest income segments. On the returns front, bank has delivered better results on the back of higher PAT. ROA of the year had at 1.22%, ROE at 18.01% reflects significant improvements over the previous year. There has been moderation of almost 4 percentage points in the cost-to-income ratio despite higher technology spends during the year, which, though being expended during the year, in reality can be considered as investments with anticipated good returns over the years to come. Sustained growth in POP, PPOP 23%, PBT 34%, PAT 48%, resulting in yet another record-breaking year of profit of rupees 1767.27 crores has yet again proved that the bank has delivered as per the expectations of its stakeholders on most of the parameters. Based on the good annual performance, board of the bank in its meeting held yesterday has recommended dividend of 2.15 per share for the financial year 23-24. The trend in employee costs is encouraging. Despite the wage revision cost, the overall employee cost for the year 23-24 is lower as compared to previous year and even below the financial year 22. During the year, excess provision made towards superannuation benefits amounting to rupees 263 crores were reversed. The superannuation costs are going to moderate going forward owing to the scheduled retirements of good number of high-cost resources and savings owing to the shifting to purchase of non-ROC annuities for pension payments. With synergies of people, process and technology supplemented by a fundamentally strong balance sheet and progressive business model, bank is well prepared to deliver even better performance in the days to come. Market guidance for the financial year 24-25 will be the credit growth of around 15%, deposit growth of around 12%, CASA 50%, NIM 3.75 to 3.85%, ROA 1.25 to 1.3%, ROE 17 to 18%, gross NPA at 3.5%. I thank you all and acknowledge your guidance, support and trust, and we expect to continue it in the coming days. I will be glad to have your questions now. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Again, if you have any questions at this moment, please press star and one. The first question is from the line of Arjun from Bowhead. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. This is Sonal Kohli from Bowhead. Congratulations again on a stellar year and quarter. Remarkable the team has done. Sir, I had two questions. Firstly, on the loan-to-deposit ratio, you know, considering we are going to grow our loan book by 15% and deposits by 12%, you know, what prevents us from taking our loan-to-deposit ratio further, and over the years, we expect to inch it up, and, you know, where do you see it in the next 1-2 years? The second question was, you know, pertaining to the state of Jammu and Kashmir. You know, this year we have obviously by choice grown much faster than the rest of India. How do you see that going in the next 1-2 years? And when do you see the, you know, growth in Jammu and Kashmir economy translating into growth of the loan book by the bank? You know, I understand that we purposely may not have been growing that fast, you know, to put systems in place. But at what point of time do you decide to accelerate the pedal on Jammu and Kashmir?
Yes. Sonal, thank you so much. So our LDR is below 70% as of now, and we have a good scope of improving it. We are targeting it around 72% during the year, and obviously the investment, depending upon the potential, we will be shifting some of the investment book to our credit book as and when it is required. And the second question is related to J&K economy. I'm happy to tell you that in the last 3-4 years, there has been a consistent improvement in the J&K economy, and this trend is likely to continue going further also. And in this year, we are expecting the connectivity, rail connectivity with the valley from the rest of the country, which will have a multifold impact on the overall tourism-related activity. And the agriculture sector is also now looking up. As I already indicated, that there's a huge amount of potential of growth in agriculture. So that will also support the Jammu and Kashmir Bank large extent, because we have a lot of RUSU network. And while we will continue ensuring that we are not losing market share, rather improving it, but we are in the process of transforming our digital journey and our processing of our loans by CPCs, retail, we are almost through. SME, I think another 1 quarter we will be there. So once this the processing is centralized, then the branches will be looking after only the sourcing of the business, and we will have a standard practices of processing, and the risks will also be contained. So then we can see that we pedal it up further.
Sir, is my understanding correct that you have two further levers to protect or increase your NIM as compared to relatively to other banks? One is, you know, in the last 1-2 years, you have grown in rest of India much faster, and your margins are obviously much higher in Jammu and Kashmir. So as it starts catching pace with, you know, the overall loan book growth, you will have an additional lever, you know, compared to what you had in last 1-2 years on the margins. And secondly, you know, the loan to deposit ratio still has a fairly long way to go should you decide to, you know, accelerate it.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think you have said it right. Besides the 2 points which you have already told, one is the CASA strength of the bank, which is continue to propel the, we are having the advantage of lower cost of deposits or cost of funds. Because of that, we are able to finance to the quality business at a competitive rate.
So, sir, can our NIM improve further compared to what you are saying? Is there a possibility? That's all I'm asking.
Yes, yes, that is a possibility, but we are strengthening our systems so that we are not ending up to a situation which we have seen a few years before.
Okay, so the NIMs have a possibility of being more than the guidance. Have a possibility.
Too early to say that, but we will definitely try and improve it above our guidance as we have done this year.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Gaurav Agarwal from 91 Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on very good set of numbers. Sir, on your employee cost, last quarter you mentioned that despite the benefits that you are going to accrue in this financial year, next financial year, FY25, you expect to YY decline in the employee cost.
Yeah.
So, sir, what is your outlook right now on that?
So, Ishaq, can you just come and give the numbers?
Sure.
Just a moment, Gaurav. We are just explaining it.
Good afternoon, Gaurav. Ishaq here. So,
hi, Ishaq.
Yeah, thank you. So, we had guided that we had a feeling that there is a lot of value, actually, extra provisioning in our superannuation funds. So that assignment we gave to our consultant to assess what was the requirement and what was the level of provisions that we were maintaining under these superannuation heads. So immediately he recognized and realized that we had a huge excess in the gratuity. So there is a reversal of 243, that means the notes to the accounts also, it has been mentioned by the auditors. So there was a reversal of that amount because that was in excess. Secondly, now this was a one-time thing, the reversal was one-time. But one more thing
right. Is
the provisioning towards the pension benefits, the pension payments. So we were purchasing annuities with an ROC clause. Again, there the consultant, he has suggested that we shift to non-ROC annuities. And again, there is also scope for the amount that he has said is well above 200, but we are not factoring that much. We are saying that 150 to 200 crores will be the annual saving on the contribution towards the pension annuities also. So this will continue for a long time. And the third thing that is actually tapering this employee cost, this superannuation costs, is the retirements of the employees. A lot of high-cost employees are retiring. Almost 700 have actually retired over the last 2 years, and more are retiring during this year and current year. So a lot of numbers, there will be again some reduction in the requirements for the terminal benefits. This is the other thing.
Right.
So this is one thing that is panning. If you see, this cost is for the current year. Now, because of this reversal, it has been lower than the last year and even the previous year. That's 22 also.
Right, right.
Yeah. Thank you.
So for FY25, do you expect this employee cost because of the benefits you mentioned? So do you expect it to remain flat, on the low base, obviously, for FY24? Do you expect it to grow by like mid-single digit?
Yes.
In the range of 5 to 6%, we are anticipating that it will go up 5 to 6% only. Yeah.
Okay. And so your other cost, that has gone up quite substantially. It has up like 26%. And you mentioned that you have been investing on tech side on a lot of other initiatives. So what is your guidance on the other cost, which is around 1200 CR for FY24, 1181 to be specific?
So Gaurav, the technology investment will continue happening. And as far as the earnings are concerned, I think...
Like this year, we had an OPEX of 135 crores almost on the tax front, and the CAPEX of 180 crores. So almost 300 crores of this spends on the investment, or this infra building, the technology infra building. Because like MD sir said in his speech also, in the initial words, that we are on a transformation journey and we are actually taking all our processes, we are mechanizing all our processes, which is bringing in efficiencies in our processes, saving the resource cost a lot. This is how, despite 800 retirements over the last 2 years, we didn't require any new recruitments to be done.
Sure, understood. I understood, Ishaq. Yeah. Thank you. On the credit cost, I think, sir, you mentioned you have 200 crore rupees of aging provision for FY25 right? Did I hear the number correctly, or is there any mistake from my side?
You have heard it correctly. And we were expecting it in the last quarter, but because of various delays, we are expecting it now, maybe first quarter or maximum second quarter. So the credit cost is expected to be near zero or almost negligible.
Okay. Okay. So 200 crore is the, you know, the aging provision, and then you are expecting some recovery on the provision side. So net-net, you are assuming for the full financial year, near to zero kind of a number. That is for full financial year, right? So not for Q1.
That is correct.
Okay. And so lastly, if I may, you know, your RWA, if I, just one second. So your RWA for the year end is 93,000 crore, right?
Yes. Yes.
So I think it has grown by 20% while advances are up only 14. So which segment is specifically leading to higher growth in RWAs and, you know, hence the higher requirement of capital? And how's the outlook on this side?
Let me request our CRO, Mr. Altaf Fira, to respond, Gaurav.
Our risk-weighted assets have grown. If you look at our credit risk-weighted assets, they have grown by around 2,000 crores. And operational risk weighted assets remain stagnant, and market risk weighted assets have increased because of the regulatory change and increase in the portfolio. That is one. And now, going by trend regarding the risk weighted assets, we believe that they still remain in line, because if you look at our risk weighted density, it has remained in the range of 58 to 60%. Still here, it is 60%. We will continue to remain in this band. And furthermore, if you look at the unsecured book and the NBFC book, the changes in the risk weights, that has led to around 100 bps of increase in the risk weight.
So I think, Gaurav, essentially the risk-weighted assets have been increased because of the increased risk weight.
Okay, sir, great. And thank you so much. All the best for your future quarters.
Thank you, Gaurav.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, if you have any questions, please press star and 1 to join the question queue. The next question is from the line of Milind Karmakar from Dalal & Broacha. Please go ahead.
Hi. Congratulations on good numbers. I had a couple of questions. One was that the yield on advances. The issue is that if our home loan portfolio is growing faster and so is our agriculture portfolio, I suppose that in both these cases, the yield would be slightly on the lower side. So would it impact our overall yields going forward? That was my first question. And my second question was relating to the economy, specifically in Jammu and Kashmir. Where do you see the maximum growth coming from which segment in the coming, say, 2 to 3 years? That was my second question.
Yes. So, Milind, as far as yield on advances is concerned, you are right that agriculture is generally the low-yielding product, but our major, the major segment is the personal loan segment to the government employees, where the maximum yield is being earned by the bank. And then the other segment is the MSMEs. MSMEs also are seeing a lot of uptick in because of the overall economy, improvement in economy in J&K. So you have any anything to add? Yeah.
Between digital and unit.
Yeah, Milind, good afternoon.
Yes.
The, like you said, that agree, it may be earning lower yields for us. But in fact, if you see that we have almost 10,000 crores parked in there because of the this priority sector shortfall, we have almost 10,000 crores of these funds parked in low yielding, very low yielding, 3%, 2.9% radius, this NABARD and other things. If those get released and those get deployed at even 8%, though, there will be an uptick in the this
absolutely
in the yields, number one. Number two, what MD sir has said that the housing, yeah, that is there. But we have got the other segments which are well above 11% also. So the balancing thing is that it will remain, and we have actually factored it at the same level. Like we have during this current year, almost for the last three quarters, it has been maintained at that 9.55%.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So coming to your second question, Milind, the economy in J&K,
yes.
Which segments are looking are growing better? So
yes.
As I have already indicated, home loan segment is seeing a very good growth of over 20%, and this is expected to continue this year also because there is a pent-up demand also. The people have started investing in their homes, which they have not done for quite a long period of time. And the cost of housing is going up both in our Jammu as well as in Kashmir areas. That is one. The other thing which is, I think, propelling the overall economy is the tourism sector, which is looking up very, very good this year again.
Horticulture,
of course. Any
growth which you can see in on the industrial side, because I hear that Jindal Sir setting up a paint plant near Pulwama. Are there any other industries coming to Jammu and Kashmir as of now?
Yes. So not that big industries, but medium level industry, medium sized industries are coming up in and around Jammu. So that is one attraction is the government new investment policy, wherein there are benefits to the investors in the interest also as well in the capital subsidy side also. So that segment is basically confined around Jammu side. But yes, some industries are coming in that.
GSW
is also coming.
Yes. Okay, thank you very much and all the best.
Thank you, Milind.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashish Goel from Invest Savvy Portfolio Management, LLP. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Great set of numbers, sir. Congratulations to the team.
Thank you.
I had two questions. One is, given that your low cost of funds, which is a lot of the CASA is coming from Jammu and Kashmir area, where I think you already have a fairly large coverage. So the additional funds which will be garnered, what is the plan to keep the cost of those funds low? Because on an incremental basis, if they are coming in at more expensive, then the growth outside may not generate that much profit on a like-to-like basis.
Yeah. So Ashish, good question. And I think I'll respond it in two ways. One, that since the economy is looking up, so the savings in our home territory will also go up. So once the savings go up, obviously the saving capacity in the form of deposits will also further go up. So we are not seeing much of a concern as far as our home territory is concerned. So as rest of India, so the strategic expansion plan which we have started last year will continue, and that will be based on two things. One, that what is the scope of getting the low cost deposits, that is one, and what is the scope of improving my home loan segments, home loan portfolio there. So based on these two things and the potential, we will continue having a strategic expansion plan this year again.
And sir, is the growth in deposits a little cyclical? Because like last Q-on-Q it was about 9% and this Q-o-Q it's about 6.some%. So it's kind of slowed down. So is it that March quarter generally you see a slight slowdown in deposit growth because people pull out for advance tax, etc.?
No, but March quarter generally is better than the other quarters. This year also, what is the quarter? Q1Q, it is more than 5% this year.
But Q1Q last quarter was about 9%. So that's why I was wondering that why is it slowed down QOQ?
I think that may be some aberration, but generally the last quarter is better than the other quarters in deposits. And that is happening over a period of time. We have seen it.
Oh, okay. Fine. And, okay. And how do you see this, while I think you've addressed the employee cost bit, your previous question, which was the other question I had, but going forward, what number of employees would be possibly retiring this year, and what would be the impact on cost, some rough ballpark in cost saving on this when they retire?
So, we have given this number last quarter also, that we have 1,500 high cost resources which will be retiring in the next 3 to 4 years' time. And that number remains the same only. And over and above that, now the terminal benefits will be based on non-ROC clause. Earlier it was ROC clause. So that will also save around 150 to 200 crores, as Ishak has already indicated. So going forward, I think on the employee cost front, we do not have much worries now.
So in terms of growth, you think revenue growth will be more than the employee cost growth?
Yes, yes, definitely.
And that is after, like, taking this quarter into account, because this quarter we've seen a significant drop. So it's like around 480, like, you know, it has come down. So
yes,
from here we will see 5 to 6 or on an annual basis or on the previous average?
So we are seeing on an annual basis around 5 to 6% of the total increase,
okay,
which will be much below our overall growth in the businesses.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Ashish.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants, if you have any questions at this moment, please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Ashwini Agarwal from Demeter Advisors LLP. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Congratulations on very good earnings for the year and for the outlook that you have provided in your opening comments. The question I had related to the provision that you have made during the year for frauds in the notes to accounts amounting to 241.76 crores, which is roughly, you know, give or take about 25-26 basis points of your loan book. So I just wanted to ask, I mean, how do you look at this number? Is this, you know, higher or in line with what the banking sector generally experiences, and should this be ongoing, or are the systemic investments you are making towards technology and various other things, are you likely to see this number go down? How should I think about this?
Yeah. So
the number that you are talking about is actually the from the financial side, that the loan side, credit side, because you see, depending on the diversion of funds and other things, there are sometimes the other banks also declare the accounts as a fraud, and this is exactly the same. This is from a consortium account that has been declared as fraud by the other members of a consortium leader and others, so we have to follow suit in that. There is no other fraud other than this. This is the, actually from the credit side only.
Okay. So this would be similar to what other banks in the system are also experiencing.
Correct, Ashwini.
Okay. And the second question I had is that, you know, you have roughly about 3,000 odd crores as receivables from the government on account of pension liabilities. Do you get any interest on these delayed payments?
So
the pension receivables from government?
So Ashwini, we are an agency bank to the government of Jammu and Kashmir and Ladakh. So being agency bank, we will not be able to charge interest as per the provisions. So there is some lag in the recovery, but it comes every month it is coming.
Acha, okay. And no, I was just looking at all the numbers, you know, investment in NABARD refinance, RIDF in SIDBI, and, you know, in response to a previous question, it was a very encouraging response that as your priority sector loans grow, some of these low yielding deposits or investments will probably get redeemed. So overall, they should have a positive impact on NIM. So in that context, I was wondering if the pension is also, pension receivables is a source of income, but that I should not assume to be the case.
That will not earn any income to us, but that is the transaction based income is coming in the form of government commission.
Okay. Okay. And so my last question is, with elections most likely to be held in the state, you know, in the next 6 months or so before September, if the Supreme Court ruling is to be seen, how do you expect the change, any change in how the board is constituted or the management of the bank? How do you see things going ahead?
Ashwini, this is a difficult question for me to ask today. One thing is there, that now the type of governance policies have been institutionalized in the bank. I'm pretty sure that these will continue, and the monitoring of the bank at the government level, the central government level, I think it will continue happening like this. So we need not to worry much about that.
Okay. Thank you, sir. All the best. Great year, and all the best for the future.
Thank you, Ashwini.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jay Mundra from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi, sir. Good afternoon and congratulations on great numbers. Sir, few questions. One is, if you can break down the fee income on a full year basis, so what I can see is 825 crore is the fee. How much of that would be treasury and, you know, recovery from write-off? And how much will be the core fee?
Okay, just a moment. I'm giving you a break. So, out of 825.48, 132.25 is from the commission and exchange, 105.78 is from the insurance commission, that is the cross-selling income. The treasury and trading gains are 115.60, and other miscellaneous income is 471.85. So, total comes to be 825.48. Yes. And out of this, technical write-off is around 100 crores this year.
So, sir, if I remove the treasury and the write-off, right, I mean, recoveries from write-off, then the fee income is somewhere around 610 crores, right? On an asset base of roughly 1.5 lakh crore, yes, this number is roughly 40 basis points, right?
Yes.
So, I just wanted to take your view that, you know, this number, fee income or core fee income as a percentage of asset at 40 basis point, is very suboptimal. If you look at your peer set, the industry average would be anywhere around 90-100 basis point. So your thoughts and the roadmap on this parameter, which is fee to assets or fee to loan, you know, over the next 2 years, and what are the initiatives that we are taking, and how easy or difficult could it be?
So, Jay, actually, you have a very valid point, and we are aware of that this is something where we need to improve. And for that, we have already taken steps. I think I have already told in the earlier calls that we are now having a system of large credit units, which are headed by the relationship managers and the credit support officers. These are the people who will remain in the credit vertical for a longer period of time, and they will have a limited number of accounts to serve. So the purpose is that they must get the holistic value of the account. It should not remain only up to the interest income. So we have already started working on it, but of course it will take some time to actually reach to the industry average, but we are targeting to reach to that. And the second is, of course, the forex and the treasury income, where the investment we have already started during this year, and we are quite hopeful that we will have a uptick in the overall treasury and forex income also.
Cross-selling, we are seeing around 60%
growth. Cross-selling, we have seen the 60% growth during the year, mm-hmm, and we continue to do well there also.
Understood. Okay, And secondly, sir, on asset quality, right? So first is, how big is the proportion of JNK state, state government employees unsecured portfolio out of, let's say, 37,000, 39,000 crore of personal finance that we have?
So we have around 18 to 20,000 crores of personal loan finance to the J&K government employees, and where the quality is top class. Actually, we are not having any delinquencies in this segment, less than 0.5%.
Yes.
That too on account of deaths or the suspension or some other issues only.
Mostly deaths.
Right. So, sorry. So, what was the less than 5%? Is this the
less than 0.5%? Delinquency ratio in this segment, the government employee segment, is less than 0.5%.
Half a percent.
Right.
That is less than 0.5%.
Correct. Understood. Okay. And sir, last year FY24 along with FY23, we had a very good asset quality outcomes, right, in terms of negligible slippages, maybe negative slippages, and, you know, a negative credit cost. So going ahead, how would you look at gross slippages and recovery, and hence, you know, overall credit cost? You I think in your opening remarks you had mentioned that credit cost would be a benign kind of a thing, but how would you look at gross slippages and how would you look at recovery and hence credit cost?
So, two things. Yeah, one is that now the system of onboarding the customers, as I've told, has been transformed totally. Now we have the specialized team who are well trained to look after the credit. So the onboarding of customers is properly taken care. The slippages have been stopped because of that. Number two, the accounts which are already there under stress, NPAs or SMAs. So we have the SMA tracker. Extensive use of technology is being undertaken to ensure that we are lowering the SMAs, and maximum at SMA 0 level. SMA 1 and SMA 2 is at heightened alert level. So our people are also now sensitized towards that. As far as NPA is concerned, there is a standard operating process, and for that, everybody is now being asked, and daily basis monitoring is done. We monthly basis, we have a extensive review of all the high-value NPA accounts, and then there is an aging factor also. So those recoveries are expected to come this year again, like last year and before that also. So as far as the assets quality is concerned, Jay, I can assure you we will continue doing well as we have done in the last 2 years.
Slippages
will be, of course, aligned with whatever we have seen, around 1.3-1.4%.
Early warnings.
Okay. And sir, do you have a recovery pipeline, I mean, from NCLT or maybe ARC or maybe NARC, etc., corporate recovery, corporate stress set recovery pipeline?
So actually around 100 and 150 crores of amount of technical write-off we were expecting during this quarter, which has actually now gone to the next quarter, maybe first quarter of this year or maximum second quarter of this year. That's likely to happen. We have the clear visibility, the names also, and of course the other small recoveries which are happening in our home territories, they will continue happening. We have the specialized teams, and those teams are exclusively working on recovering these loans.
Right. And sir, is there any standard assets provisioning that you are carrying, which is apart from restructured loans provisioning? Because, you know, the current times are clearly very good. You are having negative credit cost write back. So, any thoughts on creating contingency provisions, and if you have any outstanding standard assets provisioning apart from restructured provisions?
Yeah. So, how much is the 124 crores?
Is the floating provision? Yes.
Yeah. So, 124 crores is the floating provision over and above, which is mandatory as per regulatory guidelines.
Understood, sir. That is very, very helpful. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Sandeep Raj from Oculus Capital Growth Fund. Please go ahead.
Good evening. Am I audible?
Yes, Sandeep, you are audible.
Hi, sir. So my question was regarding the RBI's draft guidelines on the project financing, which mentioned that 5% general provision should be made. So I just wanted to have your view. Would that affect us in any way, or just wanted your thoughts on that?
Sandeep, we have just gone through these guidelines today only, draft guidelines today only, and the back of the envelope calculation is that we will not have any significant impact. 1,416 crores is the amount where DCSO has not yet happened. So out of a portfolio of more than 1 lakh crores, so 1,416 crores is the amount which may be required for higher provisioning as per the draft guidance we understand today.
And I would like to add, I'm Ashutosh. The guidelines which has been circulated by RBI, they presumably they don't, there is a no mention that existing portfolio it will be impacted, because I presume that once these draft guidelines they come into circulation, then after that the project financing which will happen, it will be applicable to those projects only.
But these are our, these are our projections only. Yes. Even if it is on the existing portfolio, we have very negligible portfolio.
Okay, done. Perfect. Thank you so much, sir. That's all for me.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chintan Shah from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Just one question from my end. On the ECL provisioning, we believe we'll have to migrate to the ECL provisioning norm in probably a year or two. What would be our total provision on our books? Total provision, what we have standard, floating, restructuring, etc. The total provision which we have on our books, what would be that number if you could share?
So how much is our provision amount?
Yes, sir, 433 for the standard and floating is 124.
433 plus 124. That is the amount of provision we are having. And our calculations so far indicate that we will have a soft landing on the ECL platform as and when it is implemented.
Sure. So in terms of the ECL implementation, we won't be having any knee-jerk reaction on the provision side. So despite having almost nil credit cost for FY24 and even the same expectation for FY25.
That's correct.
So also anything on the margins? So the yields have been seen a sharp decline actually in this quarter. We think probably it was also a higher base in the last quarter. So anything to read there? Will there be a continuation of declining yields, or are they expected to settle around 9.5 or so?
The yield on advances.
Yes, sir.
Yield on advances. 9.54. Yeah.
Actually, in the Q3 there were a couple of one-offs. So there were recoveries and upgradations in some accounts where the unapplied interest also was booked to the extent of 45 to 50 crores. So that was an uptick to the 9.78 region on the yield of advances. Otherwise, if you take out that one-off effect, so it has been 9.54 almost consistently over the last 3-4 quarters. So we are actually anticipating it to continue like that, because unless and until there's a rate cut by the regulator, this will continue, because it has the trend has continued over the last 3 quarters.
Sure. And if we look at the write-offs for the current quarter, actually they seem to be quite aggressive at 520 crores. So I assume that these odds would be fully provided. And despite that write-offs, we are having a reversal of credit cost. So how do we read that? Yeah.
Fully provided. This all 506 crores is 100% provided for. We only put these accounts to TWO only after 4 years they are in the NPA category, and where we are holding 100% provision. So putting them to TWO doesn't make any effect on the bottom line, on the profit of the bank.
Sure. And so this credit cost which we have seen negative for the current quarter, so what would the reason for that be?
It will be benign, yes.
Actually, you see, the recovery is like the pipeline of recoveries for current year also. That's financial year 25 also. We have almost 1,000 crores of pipeline of this recoveries. And taking the haircut and other things also, so we anticipate a provision write-back of almost 350 to 400 crores. So if the, on the other side, there's an aging requirement of 200 crores. So there definitely will be a provision right back. That will be actually a negative figure, and the credit cost will again be negative only.
Sure, sure. So we mean to say that we have already provided more on the assets, and the recovery rates are higher than what is provided for, and therefore we are seeing the provision right back.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. You see, our provision coverage ratio is already about 91%. And in fact, the board of the bank also approved a policy where, and we are maintaining an additional provision for the NPAs at 10% for the substandard, for the doubtful categories. So there's an additional provision. There's an incremental provision that we are maintaining, additional provision of 136 crores for the NPAs also.
Sure. Understood. And this is quite clear now. Thank you, and all the best here. Thank you.
Thank you, Chintan.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Garpin Shah from Enam Asset Management Company. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, team. Congratulations on the set of numbers. Most of the questions have been answered. Just one on cost of deposits. How do you see that moving for you in FY25?
Yes. Thank you, Darpan. So cost of deposit, we have indicated in quarter three that it will be around 4.57, and we have maintained that level. You have the numbers? Can you just please?
Yeah, like we have said, the most of the repricing of our term deposit portfolio has already happened. And currently what we see as per our data, the weighted average term deposit rate out of our portfolio is almost 7.2%. And given the CASA component and the other things, our cost of deposits will remain as the current level, that is 4.7%, but with a tapering bias, because going forward, if there is any rate cut or something like that, so there will be a tapering. Otherwise, the repricing has already happened, so there is not any scope of further repricing on that. So the rate, the cost of deposit will actually sustain on this level and lower than this level.
Okay, thanks. And just, you know, if you can provide the breakup of loans by the nature in terms of EBLR linked, fixed rate book, MCLR linked.
Yeah, so it is almost 50-50, Darpan. 50% of our loans is external benchmark linked and 50% towards the MCLR linked.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next follow-up question is from the line of Arjun from Bowhead. Please go ahead.
Yes. Yeah, hi. So your non-employee cost in FY24 for full year was 1180 crores. How do you see this growing in fiscal year 25?
Non-employee cost?
Yeah.
In and around 8-10%, we are expecting a normal increase in this cost, Sunal.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nawaz Sarfaraz from Dalal & Broacha Portfolio Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, just one question. Can you give us some idea with regards to the sectors or segments which contributed to the slippages in the current quarter?
Okay, slippages during the current quarter.
Yes, sir.
Which is the sector?
Sir, it's spread across all sectors, small loans. No big exposure has fallen in this.
So
the highest exposure is only 10 crores, which has fallen during this quarter. And it was
that around, is MSME.
Yes, sir, yes.
So, Nawaz, this is spread across MSME and agriculture and the trade also. So, because amount are small,
yes.
So these are the small ticket size accounts.
Okay. Then, I mean, we can expect recovery to happen also maybe going ahead.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, upgradations and recoveries are happening in these accounts because it's easy because the overdues are just
smaller,
around 90 days.
And this has mostly come from J&K or ROI?
J&K.
Okay. Fine. Thank you. That's all for my side.
Thank you, Noah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jayesh Shah from OHM Portfolio Equity Research. Please go ahead.
Hello. Sir, I have just one question.
What is the proportion of JLG loans?
Sorry to interrupt. Jayesh sir, your voice is not that great audible. So if you're using the speaker mode, maybe request
Hello.
You.
Is it audible now?
Yes, Jay.
Okay. My question is, what is the percentage of J&K loans in the overall loan book? And within that, what is the percentage of loans to Ladakh? And any implications of current problems that are happening in Ladakh on our portfolio?
No, see, we have a 67% of the loan book total to J&K and 2% of the total loan book to Ladakh. And of the issues for the current and the current problems are not that serious also. So and the major segments in Ladakh are the hotel and the government employee segment. So that book has been holding very well, so we don't find much challenges there. And 67% of our total loan book is from the Jammu and Kashmir territory.
Thank you. That's all. Best luck.
Thank you, Jay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Gaurav Agarwal from 91 Capital. Please go ahead.
So just to leave you one clarification on the other OPEX, which is the non-employee part. You just said that it is expected to go up by only 10%. Is that correct?
Yes, yes. 8 to 10% I have told. We are expecting it to grow in this range only.
So say your full year CAPEX, you know, considering 6% increase in employee cost and 10% increase in other OPEX, your total cost, you know, operating cost should be around 4,000 to 4,100 crore. Does it correspond equal to your number? Like, am I ballpark just in the similar range? 4,000 to 4,100 crore kind of number?
Yes, Gaurav, your calculation is correct.
Okay, perfect, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jay Mundra from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Just two clarification. One is, sir, on DCCO related projects, we said that the total affected exposure could be around 1,400 crores. If I look at our presentation, slide 28, then, you know, the infrastructure is around 7,700 and there is a 1,300 crores of real estate. And there may be some, you know, exposure, eligible exposure somewhere else also, maybe 9,000-10,000 crores is the total exposure, because unlikely to be, you know, personal finance, trade, agri services, etc. So that 1,400 crores out of maybe infra and real estate exposure of 9,000 odd crores looks a bit higher. So is that the understanding right, that, you know, those DCCO related matters, this is the total universe, right? The infra and maybe the real estate, and out of which 1,400 crore exposure is, you know, which has some linkages with DCCO thing.
Yeah. So, as far as the projects relating to infrastructure, the total amount is 3950 crores. Out of 3950, DCCO is yet to happen for 1,416 crores. So what I was referring to, the amount where the DCCOs are yet to happen.
Right. So out of total infra exposure, around, let's say, 30%, 30-35% is where the DCCO is yet to happen, right?
Yes, yes, that's correct.
And these would be rest of India projects, right? Or this could have some...
This is mainly in our home territory relating to power.
Okay, right. Right, okay, understood. Actually, sir, there was on April 1st, there was a new RBI norms on investment reclassification and HTM to AFS and AFS to HTM and the revaluation of, mark to market. Is there any positive or negative implication on the CET1 after that, you know, after we would have redrawn the balance sheet on April 1st?
Yeah, so Jack, can I request our treasury head, Mr. Rakesh Kaul, to respond to your question if he is online?
Good afternoon, sir. Good afternoon. So basically, I would like to clarify here. Basically, earlier we were having 80% in HTM and in AFS and HFT we were holding 20%. Now, after this new guidelines, 67% is in HTM and 33% in AFS and HFT. What this has translated into, we have transferred around 34 crores to AFS reserve and 35 crores have been transferred to general reserve. That is around 70 crores we have transferred to reserve, and it is a beneficial for us. There is nothing active in that, sir.
Okay.
Yeah, is it suffice your question?
Yeah, yeah. I got the thing, sir. But Mr. Kaul, sir, if you can highlight, let's say, would this have any bearing on the treasury income for the year? Let's say in your selection of securities after this new AFS guideline, because you seem to have less flexibility on the on stock reclassification after you purchase. Right. So, would there have any bearing on the, you know, treasury gains for the bank in general?
No. Basically, what we see basically earlier also, bank were having both facilities available. We were able to shift the securities to AFS, and we could also made the direct sale from STM. But bank has never opted for both the options in any year. In all my previous years, we have only used only one option now. And so it will not be, it will not give us any negative impact to my portfolio.
Okay. And now if in this quarter, if you sell, let's say, AFS securities, it will come in profit on sale of investment as usual. It's just that the AFS reserve will be debited, right?
Yes, correct.
Right. So the reported ROA may not have any impact to the extent of the sale already done.
No, but it has happened on 1st April, basically. It will impact. Because 31st, my classification are different. It happened on 1st of April.
Right. So let's say if you sell something out of AFS in the money and you earn something in this quarter, let's say in the month of May, then that gain will come as a normal line item, profit on sale of investment.
Yeah, correct.
And your AFS reserve, which you have already created, that will debit.
Yeah. Correct. But it happened on 1st of April in this quarter, not in the last quarter.
Okay. Sure. And sir, in your opening remarks, you had mentioned something about, you know, two large power projects, Adani Power and Mundra, that they are subject to, I think, flexible restructured account.
Yes.
And I think they were under 525, if I'm right.
Yes.
And what has changed there? I mean, now they have been, what has happened there? I missed that comment.
They have been liquidated now.
The
December quarter.
Okay, so you have not been a part of the refinancing which would have been done at
financing.
Okay.
We are not
and
part
would of that. Yeah, and that would have released some provisions, right? Because earlier there you may have to keep some provision that the 500.
Yes.
The
structure.
Great. Thank you so much, sir. Sir, we have reached the end of the session. If you have any closing remarks to make, thank you.
Thank you, Jay and Chintan, and thank you to all the participants for joining in. Just before I close, the Q4 deposit growth was 3.50% in the last year, and this year it is above 5%. Above 5%. So I think there was a question on the deposit growth in Q4 vis-a-vis Q3. So last year Q4 it was 3.5%. This year it is above 5%. So thank you, Jay and Chintan, and thank you to all the participants for joining in today. For any further questions, queries, details, comments, etc., or anything else, the team is always available, and you can also direct your queries to our investor relations desk, and we will definitely respond. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your line.